This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Full confession, this is always the show that is most challenging for me. The hump show, which is why we call it that. I recognized early on that I had to get over this hump before I could get downhill toward the weekend. And there's always a little extra energy once I get through this show. I don't know what the biology is behind it. I just know that this is the show that physically is always the biggest challenge because I'm always sleepier. I don't know why that is. I'm not sure what it is about Tuesday night, the middle of the week, but this is the show that pushes me a little more than the others. So I'm always glad to get through the hump show, and to make it fun, we, of course, answer your questions as part of Ask Amy Anything every single week on the Hump Show. And now, if you're waking up on your Wednesday morning and you missed any of the Hump Show, you're definitely going to want to check out the podcast. We always post the link on our Twitter, After Hours CBS, as well as our Facebook page every weekday morning. Within minutes of being done with the show, the full podcast is available for you. Producer Dave works on it during our commercial breaks as we head through these 4 hours. So check it out. It is really funny to me when we post the link on Twitter or Facebook and someone responds with, "Hey, can you tell me how to listen to your show? Do you have a podcast?" And they're actually responding to the post, and all you got to do is use the link. But I feel like it's a little passive aggressive, or maybe just aggressive, if I respond in all caps with, "Use the link." Would that be passive aggressive or just plain old aggressive? In your face. So yeah, just use the link, please. And then I don't have to get aggressive with you. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. I will do my absolute best to go back and answer some of your questions that didn't get asked on the air. And so check it out on Facebook or on Twitter, again, after the fact. Sometimes I don't get to them all and you guys get mad at me, but you're just going to have to be patient. Thank you. Hopefully I'll get to your question next time. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We've got some QB news coming up in a bit. The Chicago Bears brain trust answering questions about their quarterback situation. It's still one of the great mysteries yet to be solved this NFL offseason. And also inside the NFC North, the Vikings have released one of their longest tenured veterans. So he will be released. He's going to be available. And J.J. Watt tells you why he chose the Cardinals. This is, I think, really cool from J.J. to give us not just a peek behind the curtain, but he flings aside the curtain and lets the Red Sea just pour in. He gives you all kinds of details. He actually answered my question of where he got the shirt from. The shirt that he used in his social media post, source me, that was the tweet. He was wearing a Cardinals shirt, and I wondered if he had ordered it himself online. How'd he get it without anybody knowing about it? And so he answered that question, which I thought was fairly kind and generous of him. But I wanted to start this hour with this situation that's brewing in Cleveland. And for those of you who are baseball fans or longtime Cleveland Indians fans, maybe you've spent a little more time reading some of the details, some of the stories that have come out in The Athletic. It seems to be where the majority of the complaints against Mickey Callaway have surfaced, but it also now is the source of this picture that's been painted of the response behind the scenes by others in the Cleveland front office who were aware of the complaints about Mickey Callaway's behavior. Now, we originally started hearing about Callaway on the heels of what happened with the Mets, right? So the foreign reporter, no longer in the U.S., who had been sitting on accusations against the Mets GM. So they hire him. She allows those to become public. She allows ESPN to publish her story that goes back years to when he was with the Chicago Cubs. So the Mets have to come out. They have to admit, okay, we didn't do our due diligence. We're going to fire this guy right away after a month. We're going to make sure that we're more careful about vetting the people that we hire. And what comes on the heels of that? Well, these accusations about Mickey Callaway. Now, Callaway's no longer with the Mets. It seemed to me, and producer Dave, if you have a different perspective, I want to make sure I don't speak out of turn. But it seemed to me that the Callaway story was born out of two things. Or the accusations, they were printed out of kind of in two veins. Number one was, I don't want to say piling on the Mets, but because that cover had come off the Mets story with the GM, and because Sandy Alderson and Stephen Cohen had come out and said, hey, we're going to make sure that this is not what happens with the Mets moving forward. And then boom, right on the heels of that is the Mickey Callaway accusations. And even though he's no longer with the Mets, he was their most recent manager before, well, if we don't count Carlos Beltran, before Luis Rojas. So that seemed like it may have been a catalyst for the Mickey Callaway story in The Athletic. But the other was just, hey, once we're going to walk down this path in Major League Baseball and start exposing people who've been accused of inappropriate behavior, whether it be harassing, whether it be sexual, whether it be with employees, or whether it be outside of the organization. Well, once we start doing that, you're going to see a flood of these types of accusations. Why? Because, as I mentioned on our last show, there's strength in numbers. When one woman or one man, really forget gender, when a human being comes forward, it sometimes empowers or strengthens others, gives them confidence to come forward and tell their story as well. We're not just seeing it in sports. We're seeing it in our general society. But if that's not the case, because I kind of felt like this was born out of what happened with the Mets GM, and now it's grown into a much bigger story and let's be honest, a much bigger problem for Major League Baseball.
No, I agree. I think it's one of those things that kind of snowballs, as you mentioned, where you know, if someone's afraid or they don't want to be the first person to put this stuff out there, and then it snowballs and it builds on itself. And it's like, well, okay, well, someone else was willing to come forward, which is a good thing. And then it unearths these other things that we didn't know about. And yeah, for a minute there, it made the Mets look really bad in that you know, the immediate aftermath. And it seems like, and everything they've said, that they're going to, you know, as we played yesterday, Sandy Alderson saying, we're going to look at this process differently. Our vetting process is going to be, you know, more detailed. We're going to speak to other women and other people who can really give us a better perspective of how to hire and how to really do a deep dive into everyone's background.
But I don't think it's about the Mets anymore. So no. Initially may have been kind of piggybacking on the story about their GM who got the boot after a month because Callaway was most recently their, you know, their manager. But it's not no longer about the Mets. So I like what Sandy Alderson is doing, and I appreciate that he came out and spoke about Callaway because he didn't have to. Callaway's no longer in their employ. If you don't know, Callaway is still the Angels pitching coach, though he has been suspended. But here's where it gets a little deeper, and here's where it starts to rope in yet another organization. And if these accusations, if these reports are true in The Athletic, and right now we're getting a different account of the events from Cleveland, but if they're true, Major League Baseball has a much bigger problem to deal with. It's not just about Callaway's allegedly inappropriate behavior. And there are multiple women, it's up to a half dozen or more now, who've come out to tell their stories about Callaway's lewd behavior and inappropriate behavior while he was with the Indians and then with the Mets. And they're painting a picture of him being kind of notorious for this. I've had some of those situations in my own past, you know, employment history where I've been warned by other females or other employees at a particular company, hey, steer clear of that person, steer clear of that guy. He's got a reputation. So these stories tend to get around, right? So if it's true that Callaway was reported to his superior, so it would have been at the time, Mike Chernoff, of course, who's the general manager now, Indians president of baseball operations, Chris Antonetti, also Terry Francona, who is the manager. But he obviously had Callaway on his staff. So The Athletic is reporting that these three men and others inside the organization knew that Callaway had been accused of this inappropriate behavior. And in fact, it was reported to Major League Baseball, but not only was it not transformed into a big investigation, but that it was covered up. In fact, the organization, the franchise, tried to do whatever it could to kind of smooth things over with the people who were accusing Callaway of this behavior. So you can read the report in The Athletic, but there's apparently a husband of a woman who had an affair with Callaway for a couple of years. The husband was furious, so went to the Indians multiple times to complain about Mickey Callaway. So there's one piece of the report that would indicate that the team's PR department, as well as the front office, knew that Callaway. Now, I want to be careful because I don't have any information that would say this is a definite. These are still allegations. These are reports. But at least that the husband had gone to the organization and said, hey, this is happening. Callaway and my wife, yada, yada, yada. And that the communication staff actually took these complaints to Antonetti and Francona and Mike Chernoff going back to the summer of 2017. Again, all of this coming from The Athletic. And essentially, what we're reading is that Callaway had a come to Jesus meeting with these baseball officials, and that he was told this behavior is not acceptable. But that's not what we're hearing from other people around the organization who say that the behavior was not dealt with and it was essentially swept under the rug. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Now, this is the statement from the Indians. Our organization continues to actively cooperate with Major League Baseball on their investigation into Callaway. It is important we honor the confidentiality and integrity of that investigation. While we don't believe the reporting reflects who we are as an organization, we will not comment further on the specifics of this matter. I mean, there's even reports of porn that was sent. Now, if that's the case, there should be records of it. You know, nothing you send on your cell phone or computer ever really goes away. There's attorneys that were involved. So going back to this alleged affair, there were offers to speak with the husband to try to smooth things over. These are all things in The Athletic report. The Indians have denied being in contact that way and trying to take that route. And there's also a claim by the Indians that no one ever spoke to Francona about this particular matter. So it's just, it's tangled. It's a tangled web. And there's a lot of he said and he said and she said and he didn't and she didn't and they should have. But there's attorneys involved now, too. So you can understand why the Indians are tight-lipped about things. But Terry Francona did speak to the media on Tuesday. One of the things that he addressed, one of the things that he wanted to talk about, sort of, is his son. And this, I know Terry Francona, I think he is really good at what he does. We all have issues in our personal lives, regrets in our personal lives. I'm sure he has those too. They're documented from his last season with the Red Sox. So I'm not telling you he's a perfect man, only that I believe he does have integrity. And so these kind of caught me off guard, but there was a post by his son in response to this Athletic report that essentially accused his dad of being so out of touch and actually said his dad and the Indians are clearly in the wrong, that he'd read this new report. The son's name is Nick, that he'd read this new report and that he confronted his dad. He confronted the team and told them how very how very much in the wrong they were, tried to explain to his dad why this was such an awful situation. According to his son, Nick, he says his dad just doesn't get it. So Nick airs his family grievances on social media, which, as I say, I read it and I felt the kind of pain and the angst of it. And if you know Terry Francona, he's a really emotional guy, even more so since his recent health challenges. There are times when he tears up talking about a particular player or some adversity that he's been through. And so to him, I just kind of feel it in his voice, but also I felt for him to have to address his son's social media posts for the world to hear.
I love all my children unconditionally. And as you can imagine, that's a very difficult thing to see. So to deal with it publicly is hurtful.
Yeah. I mean, I like I said, just reading Nick's post, I cringed because it's so personal and it's shot after shot at his dad. Whether or not his dad deserves it, I'm not telling you his dad doesn't. Again, we don't know all the details, and baseball is going to investigate. Now the Indians are going to try to figure out who knew what when and who's responsible, and does someone need to lose his job? But this is different. This is your son. And Nick wrote on Twitter that he and his dad have become estranged almost, that they've had falling outs over this, and he's not close to his dad because of some of these things. And so it really made me feel terrible just for the family and for Terry Francona specifically. Now, he should have to answer, and the Indians should have to answer if they did try to cover up what was happening with Mickey Callaway, if they knew about Callaway and said nothing and allowed him to take a managerial job with the Mets without passing that information on. Now, we don't know if that's part of it as well. Maybe the Mets knew and decided that it was still worth hiring them. These are all questions that have to be answered. But for Terry Francona, he says there were never any attempts to cover up anything in Cleveland.
I have never worked in a place where I have more respect for people than here. And I've been very fortunate to work for some wonderful people. And I believe that in my heart. And again, I don't think today is the day to go into details and things like that. I do hope there is a day because I think it would be good. And I think it's necessary.
Baseball's got a lot of different rabbit holes to go down now because it's the Indians, it's the Mets. I mean, he's only been with the Angels a short time, and I can't imagine that lasts. Callaway's already been suspended by the Angels, and they've promoted someone else to take over pitching coach duties. One more with Terry Francona. You can hear the serious and grave nature of his voice.
Right now is just not the right time to respond to some of the questions I'm sure you have. I do hope at some point we're able to, because I think we need to. And just know that we take this very, very serious.
You could say that's a cop-out. My belief is that once attorneys are involved, they advise everybody to say nothing. This is his version of a no comment. Why? Well, because anything that you say publicly will be used as evidence. We know that to be true. Here's what Callaway told The Athletic in an email. Okay, so Callaway, of course, the focal point of all of this, and I'm going to read it. While much of the reporting around my behavior has been inaccurate, the truth is that on multiple occasions, I have been unfaithful to my wife, and for that, I am deeply sorry. What I have never done is use my position to harass or pressure a woman. I am confident that I have never engaged in anything that was non-consensual. I feel truly blessed that my wife and children have stuck with me as the most personal and embarrassing details of my infidelities have been revealed. I will continue to work as hard as I can to repair the rift of trust that I have caused inside my family. There certainly could be a tendency to say this happens everywhere, right? This happens with athletes. It happens with coaches. It happens with managers. It's a very real and active part of the sports industry. And you would probably be right to dismiss it that way, except Callaway's got a real wife, and Callaway's got real kids, and Terry Francona has a real son. And so as much as it might be something that you just say, oh, that's sports, right? I mean, that's what everybody does. That's what every athlete does. A, I don't believe that. There are athletes and members of the sports industry who are faithful to their families. But also, let's remember, these are real people. And this is real pain. And this is real heartache. And it's also real difficult for families to get through something like this. So thinking of his family and really just the family dynamics that have been exposed in all of this, I'm sure we've not heard the last of it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Never a dull moment with Major League Baseball. Always some kind of an investigation. Though this one more serious than the investigation about banging trash cans and stealing signs. Even though that seemed pretty serious when we were going through it. Coming up next, the question about Chicago quarterback. It's been asked. Has it been answered?
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught! Touchdown, Kansas City!
Murray back to throw, and it is! Is it caught? Is it caught? Oh my goodness, it's caught! DeAndre Hopkins caught it!
He's got a man wide open, John Brown, he makes the catch! Touchdown, Buffalo! John Brown from Josh Allen!
Lamar Jackson in the shotgun, lob to the five, it is caught! Touchdown, Willie Snead!
Play fake by Russ.
Throws deep, man wide open, it's Lockett, he's in! Touchdown! Seahawks!
Tannehill rolling, throwing.
Touchdown! Titans!
Burrow back to pass, throws into the end zone.
Yeah. It's
intended for Tyler
Boyd. Touchdown!
Touchdown! Yeah. Bengals!
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
All right. How many teams out there need quarterbacks? Well, I think it varies depending on who you ask and what people assume about quarterback movement come the NFL league year. But there is no disputing the Chicago Bears need a quarterback. They've got one under contract in Nick Foles. Mitch Trubisky's a free agent, though he says he wants to return to Chicago. There's been a rumor that Alex Smith might be a fit. Oh, and Russell Wilson's agent has indicated that he would play in Chicago if the Bears would have him. Oh, and if his current team allows him to leave. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. What does the general manager of the Bears have to say about their QB options?
Right now for us, everything's on the table in regard to the quarterback situation. And honestly, that includes players on our current roster. That includes free agency, trade, the draft, and a combination of all those. So we have a plan in place, and now it's about executing that plan.
We have a plan in place, which means looking at every option. So in other words, we don't actually yet have a plan, but we're working our way toward a plan. He was asked specifically about Mitch Trubisky and whether or not Mitch could be a Bear again in 21.
That's going to be part of our offseason plan. And, you know, it's just those are all internal discussions we've had. But, I would say, again, everything's on the table with all the quarterbacks.
Why do they keep telling us they have a plan when there's no plan? They don't have a plan yet, except to examine all of the options. But they can just say we don't know, because that's clearly the answer. Matt Nagy's the head coach whose job may or may not have been saved by the late surge to the playoffs, depending upon who you believe. But Nagy also weighing in, because he had no choice. He was asked about the quarterback search for the upcoming year.
There's a lot of different ways that we could go right now, right? Whether it's with Mitchell, whether it's with Nick, whether it's with somebody outside. And there's a lot of different ways that it could go. And I've always been a quarterback. I've always played the position my entire life. I have fun evaluating the position and seeing what other players do well and don't do well, and then how it fits into where we're at. Right now, we're literally in the thick of everything, and just so many what if this, what if that. And it's our job to work together to make sure that we're dotting our I's and crossing our T's together, everybody, not just Ryan and myself, but the coaches, the personnel, and talking through different scenarios.
You got to have a plan, Stan. You got to have a plan, Ryan and Matt. Exactly. The plan right now is to examine every possible option, and there aren't nearly as many as you think. especially because I don't believe that Russell Wilson is going anywhere. I do believe he'll be in Seattle in 21 and beyond. However, the Bears have been singled out on his agents list. So were the New Orleans Saints. And the mayor of New Orleans, maybe you saw this, the mayor is actually taking the opportunity. It may be a very small crack in the door, but she is trying to shove her foot through it and welcome Russell Wilson to town if he's really interested in the Saints.
I've heard the rumors now, and I want to make sure that you understand that the city of New Orleans is a place for you and your beautiful family. I'm LaToya Cantrell, mayor of the city of New Orleans, and I know, Mr. Wilson, that you will be a great addition to the New Orleans Saints. And more importantly, I can see us in that number winning that Super Bowl championship once again. And what else I can see? The Mrs. Ciara Wilson herself on that main stage during the historical Essence Festival. Just wanted to stop in to let you know that we not only admire you, we want you. Love you, man.
All right, I'm just going to ask the obvious question. What do you think Drew Brees thought of this when he saw the message? And maybe the message from LaToya Cantrell to Russell Wilson is his motivation for that maniacal workout that we saw posted by his trainer on Instagram over the weekend. I mean, Drew hasn't the body's not even cold yet. Oh, and wait a minute. What about Jameis Winston? Oh, dear. Whoopsie. Do you think Sean Payton had to put out some fires after this message? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Let's circle back to the NFC North. Dan Campbell, a guest on Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio. We'll let you hear him respond to the whole biting kneecap comment. But about quarterbacks, it's no longer Matthew Stafford in Detroit. That era is over after 12 years. Instead, they traded him away to Los Angeles.
Stafford's done an unbelievable job. He's been a hell of a quarterback for a long time. He's very talented. He's a great, great human being. I've talked to him multiple times, and it's been nothing but, you know, it's just been outstanding. And golf is, nobody's won more games in golf over his career than freaking Tom Brady. And he's a winner. He's durable, and he's tough. He's got a quiet toughness about him.
Far be it from me to ever point out where someone says a name wrong, but it sure sounds like he says golf instead of golf. Whatever, I called the quarterback in New Orleans Brew Drees just a couple of days ago, so I can't say a word. Oh, and I called the team that plays in Phoenix the Runs because that's attractive with no visual imagery. All right, one more. Brett Veach, the general manager of the Chiefs, has an update on Patrick Mahomes and his off-season surgery.
Pat had his toe surgery on 2/10. You know, talking to Rick late last week, it's a 3-month recovery, so we're hopeful, you know, somewhere around that mandatory mini camp if we have. You know, we certainly think by training camp he'll be good to go, and we'll be smart with him.
Brett Veach of the Kansas City Chiefs. Man, Pat has a lot going on, right? He's got a new baby. Thankfully, that baby's not yet crawling or anything. But, man, toe surgery and recovery and rehab and brand new baby girl, Sterling. She's so cute, too. All right, that's your QB news. That's the latest. I wish I had more for you, but, you know, sometimes we don't get a lot of information this time of the year. Now, a couple of fun things to wrap up this edition of The Hump Show here on CBS Sports Radio. J.J. Watt explains his secret T-shirt mission to make sure that no one knew which jersey he was going to wear in his social media post. We've also got Dan Campbell explaining where the biting kneecaps comments, infamous now, where they came from. And Tom Brady, who matches his decor. I kid you not. He did an appearance on the Late Late Show with James Corden on CBS. Knowing Tom Brady and his wife, knowing their commitment to fashion, I'm 100% confident that he picked a shirt that matches the decor in the room where he's sitting. It's so obvious. But he explains the Vince Lombardi trophy toss over the water. You're going to hear all of that before the top of the hour.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I'm very excited. My wife and I are very excited to be here. Mr. Bidwell, Steve, everybody here has been unbelievable so far. And I'm just excited to get started. I'm very excited to get started, get to work, get to know the people of Arizona, and to go to work to try and help win a championship. And the one thing that I can promise you is I'm going to work my ass off every single day to make you proud. And I'm very proud to be a part of the Bird Gang in the Red Sea. So let's get started.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
All right. We got you, J.J. Watt. Red Sea, let's go. And actually, he was sporting very bright red. It was eye-popping red for his introductory press conference on Tuesday. We're going to give you a little bit of that. But before we do anything, as we head up toward the top of the hour, we have got about 12 minutes until the show is over. All right, 12 minutes of content, and then you are free as a jailbird. Yes, that's an oxymoron. Then you are free to do whatever it is that you like with your time. But 12 minutes, guaranteed that you will laugh at some point over these next 12 minutes. We have got some of the funniest audio of the week, including Tom Brady explaining his trophy toss and what he was thinking at the time to James Corden on The Late Late Show on CBS. But if you do not laugh at any point over the next 12 minutes, I will be forced to assume that you are a Twitter porn bot. That's all there is to it. It means you have no heart, you have no sense of humor, or maybe you just woke up on the really, really wrong side of the bed. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Let me know what you laughed at the most. Also on our Facebook page. But let's start with a little bit of oh-so-serious J.J. Watt. Why the Cardinals? J.J., why are you wearing red now?
The longer I looked at it, the more it just... signs kept pointing back down here. You know, there's a lot of exciting things about what's happening down here in Arizona. I've always said in this league, you have to have a quarterback to have a chance, and there's a young, extremely talented quarterback here who can do big things and is going from year two to year three and can take an even bigger jump to continue to grow and progress and be even better. You've got guys like Chandler Jones and Buda Baker and guys all over that defense that are really young, excited guys, ready to get after, ready to fly around and make some plays. So I'm just very excited to be here, and I'm also not going to lie to you. It doesn't hurt when it's 65 degrees and sunny outside when I woke up this morning. So it's pretty nice.
I knew it. I mentioned the weather after we talked about JJ picking the Cardinals. All right, here's what I love, because inquiring minds wanted to know, did he buy the Cardinals shirt himself? The one that you've seen on social media where he's working out and that's how he shares which team he picked of the four or five finalists. That's the number that he gave us on Tuesday. Source me. And he's got a Cardinals shirt. So I wanted to know if he bought it himself, if he used an assumed name, because he was really trying to keep this clandestine. He didn't want anyone to know about it.
The very end, when I decided that Arizona was the place, we realized how quiet it had truly been on that front. And I said, I think I'm going to announce this one on my own. Take control of your own narrative as a player. And so I had actually this is kind of funny. It's kind of stupid too, but whatever. A few days earlier, we had known like kind of the final, you know, four or five teams. We had an idea of who the final four or five teams were. So I had shirts for each team ordered just in case, you know, the situation arose. But we were trying to keep this so quiet that I didn't trust whoever at the packaging facility would not see my name on the package and put two and two together. And so I had my brother's high school friend use his credit card and his address, and he shipped the shirts to his house. And then he brought them over to my house so that we could make this all happen. So shout out to Doug and Joe for making this happen. I appreciate you guys. They're the true brains behind the shirt that I wore for the workout.
So now my question becomes, what do you do with the other shirts? Buffalo, maybe? Was there a brown shirt in there? I'm going to assume that the Steelers at least got serious consideration because of his brothers. Maybe the Packers. Does he have those other shirts now hanging up somewhere in his closet just in case he needs them the next time around? It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, so let's stick with the football a little bit. And we had told you Dan Campbell was a guest on Tiki and Tierney. You can find the entire conversation on CBSSportsRadio.com. But he was asked about the now infamous biting kneecaps comment that he made when he was first introduced to the world.
I really went off the top of my head. I don't really I would say it was more, it was just kind of something bubbling up. And to me, I was just thinking about, all right, I got this press conference in my head, and I was just thinking about the community. And I was thinking about, man, if our team could take on the identity of this city, I think that'd be a good thing. And if they would think the way these people think, and to be able to overcome adversity, I just think there's a correlation between the two. Listen, for all the listeners here that think that I don't understand that if you bite a kneecap, that's a personal foul, believe me, I know that, all right, 100%. And so I know that we really won't be biting kneecaps off, or we'll have plenty of penalty yards. But there again, it was meant for this community, for this area. I didn't think of it at the time, but I really wasn't worried about what the outside world kind of thought about it. It was really for our community and our players.
Well, but you didn't keep it in house, so now we all know this is the plan. We're going to bite some kneecaps, and we're gonna get kicked in the teeth, and we're going to bite some more kneecaps. And I know he's headed for the Hall of Fame. I just can feel it. Except, I got to be honest, earlier in the show, I said the same thing about Shaquille O'Neal. Why? Well, I'm going to tell you here in a second, but a little background. Shaq recently, along with Charles Barkley, went on Inside the NBA on TNT, and they ambushed Donovan Mitchell, but they were publicly criticizing Donovan Mitchell for what they thought was a lack of anything other than scoring. They looked at his assist numbers, his rebound numbers, and they said on the show, as well as to Donovan post-game in an interview live on TV, that they didn't think he had the goods to get Utah to the promised land. So Donovan was a little taken aback. Maybe you remembered that conversation. Initially, he said, okay. And then he came back with, well, people have been saying that to me my whole life, and I'm going to use this as motivation, and I'm going to use it to get better. All right, so Shaq and Barkley, we know what they do. They go on their show, and they're trying to stir things up, and sometimes they're going at each other, but a lot of times...
You've only been to the finals once.
I'm going to throw one of these chicken wings at your fat ass.
Okay.
A lot of times they're talking about the difference between their generation of NBA player, which actually wasn't the exact same, but today's player. Well, Shaq doubled down on that. In fact, he went triple threat with Dan Patrick on his radio show. And he says today's players are just flat out, they're soft. They're afraid of anyone criticizing them publicly.
It made me better. Let me know I had to step up. Let me know I wasn't that great. Like, you know, a lot of people take flack. When I take flack, a lot of people right now, oh, you're too hard on the youngsters. Well, I'm just doing what was done to me.
The youngsters.
I can remember when I was averaging 30, 35 in L.A., but we'd always get swept. And the great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar said, hey, he hasn't won a championship yet. Did I whine? Did I cry? Did I complain on social media? Nope, I didn't say anything because Kareem Abdul-Jabbar had G14 classification to say that. What am I going to do? Have a dispute with the greatest NBA player ever? So when he said that, when he gave me constructive criticism, I took it and I listened and I brought my game to another level. So these guys now, they're pudding pops. You say something about them, oh, church. That's what they are.
Pudding pops. Meaning they're mushy and they're melty. When you turn up the heat, they tend to melt. I thought that was an interesting metaphor.
Pudding pops.
Pudding pops. So yeah, Shaquille O'Neal might be headed for the Hall of Fame as well. Number one, youngsters. I mean, I call them kids sometimes when they're college age, but youngsters? Oh, youngsters. And second of all, he's 48. I mean, we're not talking about him like super old. And he shares a story about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and that he didn't whine on social media. Okay. Was social media even a thing when Shaq was in the NBA? He definitely whined about Kobe a lot, let's be honest. Anyway, the youngsters are pudding pops. That is Shaquille O'Neal's assessment of today's generation of NBA players on the Dan Patrick Show. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I don't know. Maybe it's because producer Dave has heard this stuff before, but I'm only getting mere smiles. I'm not really getting any laughter. Have I failed in my endeavor? Because we've got one more attempt to make you laugh out loud.
No, it's all very, very funny. I'm laughing.
Well, okay, that was a ringing endorsement. All right, we've saved what is new audio. It has not yet been played on this show, and it comes courtesy of the Late Late Show with James Corden on CBS. Tom Brady is matching the decor in his sitting room, his living room, whatever it is. I don't know if producer Dave had a chance to put up a tweet and share the photo. He's wearing black, and he's in a room that's decorated in black and white. Come on, that is no accident. Most of us would be wearing some other color. Nope, he's wearing black. Perfectly coiffed is his hair as well. And Corden wants to get to the bottom of what happened at the boat parade with the trophy that was tossed from one boat to the other.
I mean, I know the outcome and my heart's still in my mouth when I see it. Was there any bit of you thinking, what do I do if this goes in the water?
Okay, first of all, I was not thinking at that moment. There was not a thought. It was, this seems like really fun to do. And not to mention, when you get your hands on one of those trophies, there are a lot of really sharp edges on the bottom, you know, yeah, where the stand is. Obviously, the ball is what it is. But, and then I found out later that had that been an incomplete pass, that would have went down like 80 feet.
Oh, you're never seeing it again.
So
you even
I'm
hear,
so happy to Cam.
Whose voice is it that you hear say, no? Can you indeed? There's somebody shouts, no, don't do it.
That's my little 8-year-old daughter. The daddy, no.
Oh,
and who could imagine that an 8-year-old girl would have the most sense of anybody in that whole area at the time? Like, you know, she's the voice of reason. I mean, go figure.
It was
really cute.
His 8-year-old daughter, Vivian, who's been a star since she was a toddler doing yoga with her mom. Anyway, that's really funny, right? I wasn't thinking at all. So he's giggling away. Now, James Corden goes on to ask him whether or not it was sea legs or too much avocado tequila that made him shaky coming off the boat. Remember,
the guy is drunk.
He tweeted about the avocado tequila and did it with like a bunch of capital letters. And he was kind of playing into the whole the guy is drunk thing. Anyway, he admits to James Corden that it was, quote, a little of both. Whatever. There were no sea legs. You're just lucky that you have been doing the underhanded pass your entire career and you knew how to get it to the other boat. But yeah, Cam Brate initially caught it. Apparently, it's kind of funny. The team would have had to order a replacement trophy if it had ended up in the bottom of the bay. 80 feet down, the Bucks would have had to order a new Vince Lombardi trophy. You just crank him out, I guess. It's like money. It grows on trees. Just get another trophy. Whatever. Make him go diving and get the trophy that he threw into the water. I wasn't thinking at that moment. Anyway, I hope that made you laugh over the last 12 minutes. Enjoy your hump day. Survive your hump day. We're back talking tonight after hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.